You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
And I'm Tristan Carcino.
And we are coming to you live. We normally say that every episode. It's not actually true. I don't know why I say it. I've tried to stop. But this time we actually are live. Right here at Vermillion in Seattle, Washington, home of the Super Bowl 48 champion Seattle Seahawks.
Hello. Josh suggested getting a mic that would pick up the crowd. We didn't record any of that.
The technology is very poor here.
Feel free to whistle still.
On our end.
Welcome. Tonight, every single one of you is a third Pelton brother.
It's the dream you never knew you had being fulfilled.
So at any point, I hope that you've been able to enjoy some drinks beforehand. If at any point you want us to stop while you go to the bar and get a Rainier, feel free, just let us know. We'll pause the recording, go over there. One of my favorite things watching Men in Blazers live was Raj from Men in Blazers going to the bathroom during the middle of the show.
Well, no, I was going to say that was like an important thing for me because, like, no joke.
Going to the bathroom was an important thing for you.
I'm terrified of being stuck on stage having to go to the bathroom. Like, that's not a joke.
It's going
to
be me doing that. I'm the Raj of this.
But now I know you can just run off as long as you have multiple people hosting the show.
So with that,
Raj, it's a life lesson for all of us.
With that, I think we should welcome...
Well, should we toast first?
Oh.
What are we drinking tonight?
We're drinking Rainier.
Who out there is drinking a Rainier Tallboy? That is so many. This is more Rainiers, I'm sure, than they sell in a typical week.
I'm more likely, instead of going to the bathroom, to go to the bar and get another Rainier.
That is accurate.
And if you also want to drink on the Kevin Pelton tab, feel free. I am not joking. Okay. But should we welcome... Because we're going to talk about burgers first.
We are.
As we do.
We're going to crown Seattle's best burger. It is the conclusion tonight of the search for Seattle's best burger.
Should we welcome...
Well, we're going to start... Actually, I think let's start...
We're not going to welcome the third Pelton brother.
Yeah, because of the way the PowerPoint is. So unfortunately, the setup here, you're going to have to turn around to see the PowerPoint. We can see it great. It's awesome for us. Not so good for everyone else.
Oh, look at that.
All right, so let's talk about the search for Seattle's best burger, which began back on February 27th during episode 44 of the Pelton Cast.
Wow, and the MLS season has been going on that entire time.
It's almost as long as the MLS regular season. We reviewed 21 burgers over the course of this span, plus one bonus review for Steak and Shake. I was expecting a cheer for Steak and Shake from our Indiana. Oh,
Midwest people don't want a cheer for Steak and Shake.
Wow. We have eaten a total of 31. Actually, you know, I just had dicks before the show.
Yeah, we know. We were all held up because we're eating dicks.
That's 32 now, burgers. Not counting the times we ate multiple burgers and then, you know, recreational burgers along the way.
Of which I've eaten numerous.
I went to Loretta's a half dozen times during this. And somehow it didn't win.
I feel like we should. Should we pour one out? Is there anybody out there who's a Loretta's devotee?
Okay.
So sorry. You can blame Katie. for voting for Unita Burger. You can heckle her.
You
after.
Voted for Unita too. I like that you blame it all on her.
It's all on Katie.
All right, so here's the bracket that we came to at the end of this competition. You can see the top eight seeds in the quarterfinals, a semifinals matchup, Loretta's and Unita, a pair of upsets, the number four seed Unita knocking off Loretta's, and the number three seed Dix knocking off Lil Woody's. Although, can that really be an upset?
I see some people shaking their heads over here. What is? I thought maybe we should give an open forum to people who want to complain about this burger bracket.
We'd be here too long.
What in particular?
Which burger did you have from Red Mills?
What is it called? The deluxe? The single deluxe, I think. I'll say, I threw the last bits of my Red Mill out the window. I was eating it while driving, and I
People
feel like...
It's wrong.
I feel like Red Mill didn't get a fair shake, to be honest.
I mean...
It's the only burger that I threw out the window from the 30 burgers that we've eaten or whatever. I haven't thrown any others out the window. I thought Red Mill was a wild card for the champion going in, and the fact that we ate it, I ate it while driving. It didn't give it the same kind of fair shake. We ate Unita while we were sitting with Ryan Ruland Smith. It was a great experience.
Not with him. He was just there.
He just happened to be there.
We were hanging out with him. he didn't know that we were eating with him. Let's put it that way.
I'm sure that he's very excited to listen to this podcast to hear what we thought about it, though. But Red Mill didn't get the same kind of fair shake. Were there any other complaints? Does anybody want to make... I'm looking at Jan Duke here. if she wants to make an impassioned speech in defense of Loretta's.
I got pretty irritated.
Do you want to talk into the microphone?
This is our mother, by the way.
I'm very irritated about Loretta's not being in the final because I think it's a great, just regular great burger. But I haven't eaten a lot of these other ones, so I can't really compare.
Well, that makes two or three of
in true Carcino fashion, she doesn't know how to speak into a microphone.
All right, so after all that, after 6 months of doing this, it comes down to Dick's versus Unita Burger. And later on tonight, we will have the results of our fan voting. The attendees tonight at the Pelton Cast got a chance to cast their vote between Dick's and Unita. And actually, we need to make sure someone goes and gets those results so they can get counted.
I'm looking at you, Jan.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Yeah. Do you want to do it? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You're much more responsible than her.
But now, to help us decide,
we're going to crown the people's champion of burgers.
Yes.
They may not win this round. We don't know which way our special guest, third Pelton brother, Danny Kelly from TheRinger.com, is going.
I guess that. Thank you.
So we're thrilled to have Danny, who, of course, was formerly the editor-in-chief and lead writer at Field Goals.
I see that Michael Bennett shirt. Thank you.
And now you know and love his work covering the entire NFL at TheRinger.com. We lost a little bit of some of his Seahawks coverage, but the rest of the NFL gained having Danny cover the league. And in the unlikely event that you were not following him on Twitter, at Danny B. Kelly. So we know a lot about your football credentials. What about your burger credentials?
I would say that I'm a very traditional sort of burger fan. I don't know if I don't want to give it all away though, because that might kind of tell you which way I'm leaning.
Well, I guess let's get into it here.
Yeah.
So what did you
didn't... Can we just compliment Danny here before we get into it for looking exactly like he does in his Twitter photo?
I did that on purpose.
I wanted
you guys to know what I look like.
All.
Yeah, there was like a tiny bit of me like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to know what Danny looks like.
I thought we've
never met before.
I thought about taking the R, like turning it into a P on my hat.
We've thought about that too and have not been able to make that happen. we would have liked to have thrown Pelton Cast hats at you today, but we have something else to throw at you today.
Wait, that's
takes?
Are you going to do that now?
The hottest of takes.
I think now is a good time to do that.
You think now is a good time?
Yeah.
Let's hear what Danny has to say.
All right.
Okay. So am I giving you my vote now?
Yeah. Let's go get into it.
I'm Dick's all the way.
Wow.
Nice.
Easily.
Dick's all the way.
I mean, for me, it's not even close. It's
not even close.
No.
Have you been to Unita Burger?
Yes, I have. Okay. No disrespect against Unita Burger, but I mean, Dick's is like the classic. When I was younger, I would go there all the time when I was drunk, and that was just like, you know, it's like it's like a spiritual connection to a burger almost. The other thing is, like, for instance, if I go to McDonald's, I just get like a cheeseburger. Like, I just love the simplicity. I get a cheeseburger at Dick's. That's what I do.
Well, speaking of cheeseburgers at Dick's. What a phenomenal segue.
Yeah.
Unintentional.
Okay, so I dreamed of having a burger cannon. Unfortunately, such a thing has never been invented. But I was wondering if there was anybody out there who hadn't eaten before this who was hungry tonight. Okay.
Two people. Oh, there we go. People. That's a few more.
We've got a lot of burgers, so I hope there's more than that, because we're going to have to eat like 20 burgers. There you go.
We're not even joking.
You get David. A burger. Everybody gets burgers.
Oh, what a catch. Okay, there's a lot more, so please keep raising your hands. Here we go.
This is actually the bulk of the podcast is just Tristan throwing out burgers.
Do it around your back.
Ooh. Oh, I'm taking responsibility for that one. I'm sorry. Okay, there's a lot more burgers. There you go.
This is essentially like the famous Here peanut guy in the Mariners games.
Yes,
back
except
at the Kingdom.
The burgers. There you go. Where are we at? Tyler? Hello. Man, I'm on fire with these burger fries.
I like your accuracy. Won't lie.
Oh, no, no. Okay. That was a little bit dangerous.
That was a little Trevon Boykin.
Oh, okay.
Wait, too soon.
I've got one more burger in here, but there's two more bags of burgers to go.
You think we're joking? We're not joking.
Oh, intercepted.
Oh, my God.
That was a burger interception.
That was Odell-esque.
You're going to have to give her your Sherman shirt.
That was going to hit the girl in the back there, too.
Well, for Alicia, more appropriate to say that's Byron Murphy.
That was Byron Murphy? Yeah. Okay. I like the people, like, casually raising their hands. They're like, I too would like a burger. Okay, I'm going to try this again. Oh, nice.
Catch.
You have to make the sound effect when you do it. Throw the burger. Anybody else? There are a lot more burgers in this bag. Nate? There we go.
Row in front.
Here we go. Just like Ken Griffey Jr. with the Spider-Man catch. There we go.
Oh, in the back.
Oh, Kelly, in the back. I'm going to do it. I'm doing this over.
Yes.
Oh! Josh, did you get in your vegetarian? I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I was going to say, are there any vegetarians in the house? Because I was going to get a single bag of fries. But this single bag of fries didn't even arrive.
Do you really have another bag? Or is that
There's more burgers, yeah. No. You want a burger? Okay. David Moore? It's all downhill from here.
This is like in Arrested Development when all the people are like clamoring for the pennies. Yes. Isn't it?
Okay, wait, there's still more burgers. Is anybody else hungry for burgers?
All right.
You're like, okay, yes, I am.
No need to be sheepish.
There aren't more burgers. This is an empty bag.
I moved them to the other bag.
You ate all the burgers?
Oh, I did not have any cheeseburgers. I only went deluxe. I moved them to the other bag and threw you off. I'm sorry. There's definitely not burgers in there.
I'm so sorry for promising more burgers. Do you have a question? This is the Q&A portion.
This gentleman is having a Dick's Burger for the first time.
What?
Whoa! Okay.
Live reviews.
Directly after having a little Woody's.
Wow. Burger. They were head to head
in
the last...
I can't believe Little Woody's didn't win.
I'm wearing... If you can see this, this is my Little Woody's Burger hat. I worked hard to get this hat. The billions of people in the back...
Do you have to eat a certain amount of burgers to get it?
Well, you had to eat one burger per month or per week through an entire month. And I ate those burgers.
Okay.
Well, you had to go up there and get them to give it to you even though you had a different burger because you were allergic to the final burger.
I went through a burger allergy.
The real
factor in travel time.
Right. It was about a one-minute travel, but I had to go weekly to get those burgers to get this burger hat. So I'm afraid to tip my hand for this vote. I think I agree with you. And that's why this time, I'm going with Unita Burger.
Oh, that was almost a mic drop.
I mean, look, if Unita is like the... You often talk about this. When you upset...
You ate all the burgers. Yeah. How many burgers did you eat?
12. When you upset the number one seed, you become the number one seed because now you have their relatively easy schedule the rest of the tournament.
Let's just cool off with calling Dick's relatively easy.
Just making the point. So Unita's already beaten the best there is to offer in Loretta's. Loretta's is the rightful winner of this competition, and I will go to my grave maintaining that. But of these two options, as much as I love Dex, as much as I enjoyed eating those 12 burgers earlier tonight, I gotta go with Unita Burger.
Secret burger bag. Oh, wow. There were boos in the crowd. Okay, so it doesn't end there. Unita Burger might be. You're very distraught about this, Jan.
Can I talk a little more about Unita, though?
Okay, talk a little bit more. You better invoke Ryan Ruland-Smith.
Yes. It's incredible because, as you know, I am not a fan of cloth napkin burgers. Burgers that are thicker patty.
Chris Wheeler on Twitter for inventing the term cloth napkin burgers.
And then naming his fantasy team in the Pelton Cast Fantasy League after cloth napkin burgers.
Yes, he's going to go down, but it's okay.
Is he in your league?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not normally a fan of them. I don't like that style of patty, but somehow Unita manages to make its patty incredibly juicy without also being so thick that it's like kind of too much meat. And then you get the secret sauce interacting with the lettuce. It's just a great combination. It's weird because before we started... It's very scientific.
We've eaten a lot of burgers. At this point, we're getting scientific about it.
I mean, this...
No, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you a burger.
No, it's too late.
I mean, this whole thing started...
I don't have any more hands.
Yeah, that's true. This whole thing started with Nate Duncan describing the tomatoes at In-N-Out as a tour de force. So what I would say is that... Okay, so
Nate Duncan and Ben B. debate tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. Some hot takes on tomatoes from Ben B.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
So I had only been to Unita once, and I only went there because of the fact that it was a Monday night and I was trying to go to Paseo, and this was back when Paseo was closed on Monday night. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll have to go to Unita. And I didn't even like it that much. And that, to me, is the power and the beauty of this burger bracket. This place that I didn't even like that much before we started this ended up being our best burger in Seattle. How crazy is that? This was really a journey for me.
Hopefully
you went on this journey with
us. Unita burgers to the crowd.
That's true.
They would have fallen everywhere. Tomatoes would have been all over the place.
It would have been bad. We learned a little something about burgers and a lot about ourselves along the way. Even I can't say that with a straight face.
Okay, so at the end of this live podcast, Mrs. Fantasy Genius is going to count up the burger votes. If you haven't voted yet, go into the hallway corridor here and vote for either Dix or Unita Burger. We know who's going to win. It's going to be an overwhelming favorite, McGregor versus Mayweather style. And Team Money Team is looking good. But go out there and vote if you haven't voted yet. And we'll crown the people's champion of burgers. Because right now it's looking a little bit pretentious to me. I voted for Unita, but I feel really guilty about it right now.
Own it. Own it. Own those boos. Bring it on. I'm.
Wow.
All right. So having crowned Seattle's best burger, at least our choice, we move on now for an annual tradition 1 year in the making. I don't think we did this in 2013.
We've got a real expert here with us, though.
Yeah. We are doing NFL season-long over-unders, and usually we do them incredibly incorrectly. So that's, again, why we brought in Danny, to hopefully do a little bit better than we do. Someone who actually knows more about
the league. I like the Arians picture you used, by the way.
Oh, this is going to be the theme. That's why you're going to have to...
Encapsulate.
Doesn't sound great saying I like the Arians picture.
Oh, sorry.
So
yes.
We'll describe...
Bruce, to be exact.
We'll describe these to the listener at home. This is a photo of Bruce Arians yelling at the referee, presumably about players jumping over the line to try to block field goals.
Yeah, I've guaranteed.
Which sadly has been banned this season.
It's probably his fault that rule got changed.
Oh, for sure. And granted, like, it probably is safer for players if guys aren't jumping over the line on field
They're
goals.
They're wearing pads.
But
I don't know.
It was an awesome play. And shout out to Bobby Wagner.
Yeah. Okay, what's your take on that? Why did they change that rule? I mean, apart from, do you actually think it, how could someone get hurt on that if they fall down?
I think it's mostly about the center. Like, they have that rule that you're not allowed to line up over the center.
Which
so
people
I think it's that
still
same
do
kind of thing.
Inexplicably.
And like, then get called for penalties for it, yeah. So I think, I will say,
he really
I
did
think
just
in
go.
This case, it is the NFL's concern for player safety is legitimate.
Okay.
Whether it's... The right move, that's a different question.
I think it's like the only way you can make extra points and field goals and type of thing.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they were exciting last year for the Seahawks, but extra points were certainly nerve-wracking, as we know from following your Twitter feed.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, so the way this works for those of you who are unfamiliar with the over-unders is...
I left it to the professionals there for a second, by the way. Got a radio. Put a lime in it this time.
That's an interesting move. So Vegas, in this case, it's actually the offshore book Bovada, because that was the only one I could find with updated totals, sets the line, and you bet that the team will either win more or fewer than those games over the course of the season. So we start off with the Arizona Cardinals with a line of 8.5 wins coming off a little bit of a disappointing, well, not a little bit, a substantially disappointing 2016 season, you know, following up winning the NFC West, beating the Seahawks for the NFC West in 2015 with a year where they did not make the playoffs. And Bruce Arians had lots to yell about
and
on the sidelines.
Danny has extensive notes about this.
I printed out what you guys sent me. And I wrote some O's and U's on it.
I like that. Okay, so where are you going for Arizona?
I am going over. I'm going over. I think that, I mean, even with all the issues they had on offense last year, they were like the third or fourth ranked team on defense per DVOA. Now, they're losing a lot of guys on defense, but I think they still have the key guys other than Calais Campbell. But if Kamdiche kind of takes the jump, I still think this is going to be a good team. I think Palmer's going to bounce back. If you look at the numbers that he had over the second half of the year, he was really closer to, you know, what the numbers were in 2015 than the first half of last year. So I think they're going to air it out again. I think they're going to be better. I think their receivers are going to be better. And I'm looking at more like 10 wins.
Blaine Gabbert, over or under 1.5 starts for the Cardinals? Ooh.
That's a good question. Let's go with... I'm going under. I think Palmer will play the whole year.
All right, Tristan, where are you going?
I'm doing a fearful over.
That is exactly the same thing that I said. Fearful. Like, I think it's borderline between 8 and 9 wins for them, but when in doubt, just protect yourself by assuming the Cardinals are going to be good.
Okay, what do we have next? We got to get through these quick. There's a lot of teams.
There's 32 teams.
All right, the okay. Atlanta Falcons.
Yes. Scientifically speaking.
That's why he's the expert. The Atlanta Falcons. Coming off their Super Bowl loss with their new offensive coordinator, our old friend Steve Sarkisian.
Ah, yes.
And their
That's
line,
Coach Sark right there?
That is Coach Sark.
Wow.
Looking svelte.
I was trying to find a photo of him and Matt Ryan. I couldn't find any of those online.
They hate each other then, huh?
Yeah. It's a fact. You heard it here first.
Maybe I'm going to change my answer here. No, I'm going over. I think this is the second time that Dan Quinn has had, like, the most devastating Super Bowl loss in history. So, I think he was ready for it, and I think he's going to have his team prepared. So I think they're still going to be really good on offense. They're not going to be as good as last year, I don't think at all. But I think their defense is going to be a lot better, and so that's going to help them kind of put it on the top. I'm going over.
Didn't Steve Sarkisian, he was offensive coordinator for Alabama for one game?
One game.
And they lost that game in the national championship?
That's accurate, although I don't know if it was more because of their defense, right?
I'm going under.
I also am going under. A lot of statistical factors portending regression for the Atlanta Falcons next season. They're not making the regression to the mean work for them.
We're making it work for us.
All right, next up, the Baltimore Ravens with a line of 8 wins. With their elite quarterback, Joe Flacco.
I'm going under. I think their offense is going to be even worse than it was last year, and it was one of the worst offenses in the NFL. They lost their right tackle. They've lost, like, 2 other guys who are going to start on the line. And Flacco.
You know positions beyond quarterback.
Yeah. Don't make me name them. Alex Lewis and Nico Siragusa.
Tough loss. Young Goose.
Yeah. And... yeah, they're in a tough division. No, I think I'm going under.
Under.
Yeah, I might have been an over before all these injuries. They're kind of borderline again, but now I think you do have to go under for them. All right, next up, the Buffalo Bills. Can you name the person pictured on the screen?
Danny, can you?
Is that a kicker?
No.
It's not. Who said that? There you go. Nathan Peterman, a 5th-round pick out of Pittsburgh, who is scheduled now to potentially start their season opener with Tyrod Taylor still in the concussion protocol, and that's why we do not
he's
have...
He's out of it tonight. He's out today.
Oh, he's I out. Was preparing
so
for the podcast.
Is starting?
Tyrod's playing.
So that means
Tyrod's playing.
Oh, I bugged. I had Nathan Peterman's stats.
Peterman.
What's that?
I had Nathan Peterman's stats ready to go.
Wait, did you
Well, let's hear him anyway.
I did. He was 11th last year in college football QBR, right behind Jake Browning.
Oh.
So there you go.
I actually thought he was really good. you know, apart from the whole, like, the fact that the team seems to hate Tyrod Taylor for some reason. I don't know why. But, yeah, I think Peterman could actually end up being the starter, but Tyrod's starting out, so.
Wait, there's no line? How do we pick this?
Is that because of Tyrod? Yeah.
So, because Tyrod Taylor might miss one game, there's no line at all?
I don't know what to tell you. What would you put it at?
6.5
Yeah, I'm going to, yeah, I would go under on that.
I think it would be higher than that. I think it might be 7
I think they're going to be bad. They got rid of all their receivers.
That guy who looks like a kicker being their quarterback?
I genuinely thought that was a kicker.
I mean, we should know. Their kicker is
But like you seem to have, I think you kind of shrunk the picture a little bit. So it's like, you know, the dimensions aren't quite right.
It's fair. Their line is not yet back up. So
he's
we have
really
no picks
long.
To offer here.
Sorry.
We've got one pick.
All right, next up, the Carolina Panthers. Here we have Derek Anderson throwing his one pass last season against the Seahawks, which resulted in an interception. What a great moment that was.
It wasn't really his fault, though, was it?
I mean, Ron Rivera really sent a message to Cam Newton by sending Derek Anderson. Why don't they run the ball? Why didn't they run it? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Their line is 8.5 wins coming off their disappointing 2016 campaign.
I'm going over. What's their... Yeah. I'm going over. I think McCaffrey is exactly what they need on offense. They didn't have anybody that could separate last year. That was like throwing to the ents with Kelvin Benjamin and Funchess. And I think he's going to be huge for them. I think their defense is still really good. And if they get, well, this is kind of contingent on Luke Kuechly playing full year, but yeah, I'm going over.
Over.
A lot of statistical indicators here indicating they will make regression to the mean work for them. So I'm also going over.
I almost stole your thunder on the regression.
It's an homage.
Regression up. Yeah.
It's an homage. All right. Next up, the Chicago Bears with a line of 5.5 wins. Could be a long year of John Fox looking mournfully out in the cold in Chicago. Assume he's not been fired by that point in the season.
I don't trust the Bears to do anything right. So I'm going under.
Under.
We are a clean sweep on unders on that one. All right.
Ooh, this
next,
one's interesting.
Next up, the Cincinnati Bengals and our old friend John Ross, who will be missing week one.
And probably week two.
Probably week two, but hopes to be back week three.
I'm going under on that Marvin Lewis suit.
I'm going under on Marvin Lewis side-eyeing John Ross for some reason.
He looks mad.
He really does.
I'm going.
He's like, we should have drafted an offensive lineman.
Wait, is he not in charge? Yeah.
No, I think he mostly is. I think it was just a funny look.
Okay, let's see here. I'm going... This is a close one. I'm going over. Well, their offensive line is terrible, and so that's a big thing, but they have so many good offensive players. A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert, now Ross, plus very good defense. I think they're going to be really good this year again. I mean, before last year, they went to the playoffs 5 straight years, so... And it hasn't changed all that much other than the line. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with over.
Going over. You look like you have something to say. You're excited about the Bengals over. Okay, over.
Interesting. I'm the contrarian here. I went under. All the statistics suggest they're about an 8-8
team. Nobody wants to listen to this. I told you nobody wanted to hear us do over-unders. Great.
We're losing them.
Next up, the Cleveland Browns. And let's force them out.
This is where I would...
Wait, what? Oh.
Our old friend Kaysen Williams, claimed off waivers by Cleveland, and possibly now their number 3 receiver.
That's the number 1 receiver.
Giving Corin Coleman some credit.
Can we have a moment of silence?
I don't think a moment of silence plays well on the podcast.
You know what? It's worth it.
Oh, no.
Because losing Curse and Kaysen in one weekend.
Well, I was going to say...
You ruined the moment of silence.
I didn't say we started. I didn't
Oh, where are we supposed to talk? Oh.
RIP to the Kaysen crew, which was short-lived, 3 weeks, much shorter than our search for Seattle's best burger. All right, 5-win line for the Browns.
Man, that's about right where I put them, so that makes sense. I'm going to go under.
Over.
I went under on this one. Just don't trust the statistical...
Kaysen's worth at least 2 wins on his own.
Just don't trust the statistical indicators with the Browns. All right, Dallas Cowboys, a line of 9.5 wins despite Ezekiel Elliott's suspension to start the season. And really, I guess, a lot of faith there in the next Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott.
Yeah. I'm going under because, well, first of all, their defense is going to be bad. And if you lose Zeke for six games, I mean, that throws everything off. Yeah. I think they're prime candidates for regression.
Going over.
Oh, interesting. I'm going under. So you're the lone man on this one. All right, Denver Broncos with a line of 8.5 wins.
Michael Bennett side-eyeing Peyton Manning.
That's rude.
That's really great. That's like Michael Bennett. He's not even happy. He just won the Super Bowl. All he wants to do is troll Peyton Manning in this final.
Did you read the story about Michael Bennett today?
I have not read that yet. I was busy preparing for the podcast.
Oh.
Oh. I love the banter, guys. I'm going under. Again, I think the just offense is just going to be terrible. Defense is so great, but it's not going to be enough.
Also under.
It feels like a situation where the defense really hates the offense.
You know they just signed Brock Osweiler.
That is a correct fact. All right, the Detroit Lions with a line of 8 wins coming off last season when they lost to the Seahawks in the playoffs, and Doug Baldwin stole Jermaine, what would have been Jermaine Curse's final moment of glory in a Seahawks uniform. Hold on, we'll get to that.
We're pouring one out again?
No, we'll get to that.
I mean, well, how?
All right, 8 wins for the Lions.
How many times are we pouring one out for Jermaine Curse?
Okay, Kevin, do you have it off the top of your head how many, what their record was in like one score games?
I know they had 9 fourth quarter comebacks last year, which is the most in NFL history. Yeah,
that's not happening this year. I'm going under.
Yeah.
Under.
I'm surprised their statistical projections are actually pretty decent, but I'm still going under.
Jim Caldwell is shockingly high on first coach fired, considering the fact that he took his team to the playoffs last year. He was like number 2 on first coach fired.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
He's been almost fired like every year for the last like 4 years, though. I'm going over on the Packers.
Are you pouring one out again?
And this is a curse-heavy section.
Keep having curse fun. What are you trying to rub it in?
I'm trying to remember. First off, this is me trying to remember the good times. This is the play that sent the Seahawks to that Super Bowl that got canceled.
Yeah, I don't remember it. I don't remember that one.
Exactly.
I'm going over on the Packers. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to go off, and it won't matter if their defense is terrible.
I'm also going over. Danny, where were you? This was Super Bowl 49, is that correct?
Yes.
Danny, where were you on Super Bowl 49 right after?
It was depressing. I was in Phoenix, actually, but not at the game. And I was just like, for SB Nation, we rented a house, and I was just like covering the game from the house because they only had two press credentials. They sent PFT commenter instead of me, which... I guess
got a lot of followers.
That makes sense. I mean, I get it. So I was like sitting there alone by myself after the game in this rental house in Phoenix.
You were so near the game.
Drinking Monarch vodka out of the bottle.
We did the same thing Super Bowl 48 when the Seahawks won. Oh man,
Monarch vodka. It's how you celebrate Super Bowl victories or defeats.
Super Bowl 48, taking shots from the half cheesy south side shot.
Was this? Wait, this was the actual Super Bowl. This was not after the NFC Championship.
No, this is the one that the Seahawks. But that was not a great day either.
We recorded a podcast in the car.
We recorded a very drunk podcast. That's all you need to know. Super Bowl
dashboard confessionals version.
That's Super Bowl 48, taking pulls straight from the half cheesy, what you call a south side shot. Correct.
Oh, I didn't have any. I was just having the Skittles champagne.
This was, right after?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Super Bowl 49. Kind of just pretending that life doesn't exist. Yeah. Stuck in traffic for like 2 hours.
I was legit depressed for like a week.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I had a coworker who sent me a joke about the Seahawks not passing, and that was fun.
Hilarious.
I'm going over, though, for the Packers. This right here was a great moment when Curse got that ball.
Who's that? Who was that? Morgan Burnett?
I'm not sure. It was number 38, so I don't think it wasn't Burnett. But I can't remember.
Good trivia for everyone in the crowd.
Yeah. I also am going over. We'll make that a clean sweep on the Packers.
With one win against the Seahawks.
Houston Texans, a line of 8.5
wins. Can't make fun of Watt anymore, by the way. He's too good of a guy now.
This guy is back, J.J. Watt, and that's the reason for hope, despite the fact that their offense was so terrible last season.
I'm going under. I don't think they can last any longer just riding that defense. I think the division's better now.
That's, I think, my key to going under.
Yeah. I'm somehow going over.
Ooh.
Katie, can you give me a rain here?
The Indianapolis Colts, also no line.
I'm going NA for this one.
Of the injury to Andrew Luck that has his status uncertain.
Pretty strong NA here.
Wow.
Danny, do you want
pessimistic
to read?
Pessimistic Colts fans.
I'm good for now.
Okay.
What are the percentage chances we see Andrew Luck at CenturyLink Field in week 4 for the Luck Wilson showdown?
I'm putting it at like 25. I think it's low.
This is not great news for my fantasy football team, but it is good news for the Seahawks. Although, well, okay, if it's not him, percentage chance, yeah. Scott Tolzien or Jacoby Brissett?
You're seeing Jacoby Brissett. Mm.
Scott Tolzien will be starting week 1 for them.
Jacoby Brissett is as starting as Chuck Pagano is fired by that point.
That's actually who I put for my first coach fired.
Oh, there you go.
For the Ringer.
I thought you were going to say that, coach of the year.
That seems like a poke. Yeah, that would have been a really hot
take. No.
You sure we don't need to cut you off on those Rainiers?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
All right. The Jacksonville Jaguars with a line of 6.5 wins, and we'll see if this man, Blake Bortles, is starting
six
a quarterback
a
by
wins?
The time the Seahawks get to Jacksonville in week 15?
I'm going with my Chicago Bears logic, and I don't trust anything that they can do, so I'm going under.
Under.
Such a good defense, but that quarterback position is holding them hostage, so under.
Wait, who will be starting by week 4 for them?
Well, by week 4?
Yeah.
Katie.
I think Chad Henne.
Isn't Bortles starting the year, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's their third stringer?
They cut him.
Oh, they cut that
They
guy?
Don't have a third stringer.
Oh, wow. Because that was Barnwell's prediction of who was going to be starting against the Seahawks when they faced them in December.
Yeah.
All right, the Kansas City Chiefs with a line of 9 wins in this last season for Alex Smith before he presumably gives way to this year's first-round pick, Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
I'm going over. I think that their defense is going to be really good again. They get a lot of turnovers. They got a great secondary. And Smith, you know, we make fun of him a lot, but he's actually, you know, he really is sort of the definition of a game manager, and he does a good job of it. So he's a great regular season quarterback, I'll say that. I think they're over.
Also over.
Yeah, the Smith-Reed combo, so reliable. I am also over. The LA Chargers.
Over.
Over under amount of times we called them the San Diego Chargers.
Is this the play when Robert Turbin fumbled on the...
No, this is Chris Carson scoring against them in the preseason.
He looks like he's
at
the end zone there. Okay, and we're going to see that a lot this year.
Are we?
Well, I'm saving my hot takes for later, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going over. I love Phillip Rivers with a fiery passion. That defense is great. And, you know, even though they're going to probably... Half their guys will get injured, I still think that they're going to be on over. I think... Yeah, over.
I'm going over too, and the LA Chargers are going to win the AFC West.
Oh, there's a bold prediction.
That is a hot take.
I mean, to me, even if they have the same injury problems, if they just have decent luck in close games.
That was the other thing, yeah. They were like, did you see that stat, like 1 in a billion odds that they would lose like all those games or something? In the beginning of the year, they lost, I think, like 4 out of the first 5 games or something like that by 1 point or on 1 possession, you know, one less than a touchdown.
And
anyways, this is a great job by me.
And that's why Mike McCoy got fired. And they have Anthony Lynn is their head coach, right? Anthony Lynn.
Not Wynn.
I said Lynn.
Okay.
Speaking of new head coaches, sadly, one of the men in this photo no longer works for the LA Rams, possibly in part because the guy in the middle, Jared Goff, was so bad as a rookie for them.
I'm actually, and this isn't like, this doesn't have anything to do with how good I think the Rams are, but I think I'm going over.
Fearful over, yes.
Yeah.
We've seen that before. I'm going under.
Is Aaron Donald going to play, though? That's the big question.
That is a good question. I mean, all the statistics say they should be way better than this, but I'm invoking the rule that I don't trust anything the Rams do, and particularly don't trust anything Jared Goff does.
That's valid.
Really for, you know, labor... holding out until they're paid what they're worth.
Exactly.
Especially when it's Aaron when it's Cam Chancellor, I'm very against labor.
Donald has a lot more leverage on this one.
But when it's Aaron Donald, I'm very for labor. He should be holding out.
Get yours, Aaron Donald.
The team is already unionized, but he should reunionize the team.
I don't know what that means.
Just the Rams should unionize on their own and negotiate guaranteed contracts in Aaron Donald's name.
All right, the Miami Dolphins.
Yes, Cuddy. No one.
That was one of the first photos I chose for this because I was thinking about what to do for the Bears, and I was like, should I do something with Jay Cutler? And I was like, no, I've got the perfect Jay Cutler photo for the
really,
Dolphins section.
He literally did that at his introductory press conference.
That's how excited he is to play for the Dolphins. Although, friend of the pod, member of the Peltoncast LOP, Mina Kimes, did point out on Twitter, there are other photos from this press conference where Jay Cutler displays a dazzling smile and
amazingly white teeth.
Yeah. I don't feel good about that. Have you seen the Lane Kiffin video at Florida? He's at Florida Atlantic, Florida National.
Yeah, the one of him reacting
where he's blinking a bunch because he feels so uncomfortable to be there.
Oh,
that's Lane Kiffin at this press conference.
That's Jay Cutler at this press conference.
Jay Cutler at this press conference.
I thought you were going to go with him prematurely celebrating and then getting upset during their opening game on Saturday.
I'm surprised he shaved. He never shaves, especially his neck region. I'm going over.
I would watch a Hills reunion. 100%.
That was.
Well, I thought you were going to say
that
before I'd watch the Dolphins play.
Reference there, I think.
Yes.
So we got a few people got.
It's very over of me watching the Hills reunion. Very under for the Miami Dolphins.
I'm also going to slide under here. The Minnesota Vikings.
This is the hardest one for me.
The hardest one.
That's a
We've
great.
We've got at least one Vikings fan in
is
the house.
Is that Nathan Peterman pointing? <That's> No. I'm going over. This is kind of my hot take. I think the Vikings are going to be good.
You're just playing to the crowd.
Yeah.
You know there's at least two Minnesotans here.
Are there Vikings?
Here.
Oh, okay.
I'm going under. I'm sorry.
All right, number one, O'Doyle rules. And number two, over.
Oh. I kind of feel better now.
I blew that joke, by the way. It was Nibai football rules. I don't know why I blew that.
O'Doyle rules, too.
But they didn't, cheer for that. All right, the New England Patriots, a line of 12.5 wins. A team that lost only one time last season with Tom Brady at quarterback.
What game is this from?
That's the final play last year where Gronk and Cam were...
Not the final play. They played the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean...
They did not play the Ravens in the Super Bowl.
Ah.
What? This is the final play of the Seahawks winning in New England last year. Yeah.
That you recall where there was a no call? That looks like a Ravens jersey to me.
That's Cam Chancellor.
Wow, I need to get my eyes checked.
How much have you had
to
drink?
You don't recognize the Seahawks uniform?
It really looks like a Ravens helmet.
I don't know what you...
I think that's Ed Reed.
No.
Okay, no. I'm going over with the Patriots, I think.
It's a definite over.
Yeah, I went over on this one. I wanted to go under because all the stats say they should win 12 games, but come on, it's the Patriots. All right, New Orleans Saints with a line of 8 wins.
I'm starting to realize I think that I'm picking almost all the NFC South teams to go over, which probably doesn't make any sense, but I'm going with over on the Saints because Drew Brees is freaking amazing. Yeah,
there we go.
He doesn't get enough credit. He's had 5,000-yard seasons, and every other quarterback ever has combined for 4.
Wow.
If he was taller, he would get more credit.
Yeah. We have at least one Drew Brees super fan in the house.
Go Purdue? Go Boilermakers? 2000 Rose Bowl.
Robbie Hummel, super fan, too. I assume. I'm going over on this.
Brian Cardinal?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're just naming Purdue players.
Shouts to Brian Cardinal. I'm going in under here.
You're going under?
Yeah.
All right.
No faith in that defense, huh?
I mean, push might be the most appropriate there. All right, the New York Giants with a line of 9 wins. I had to go way back in the archives to find this photo of Sherman taunting Eli Manning, I assume as a rookie. I think that was the only time
he wore those jerseys. Yeah, the only time
they wore that jersey. Yeah. I don't remember that game at all.
Brandon Browner had the interception to end the game.
I do remember the time they intercepted him 5 times in 2013.
Yeah, that wasn't that game.
No, it was not.
I am going over with the Giants. I think the Giants are going to win the East.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
I'm going under here.
Yeah, a lot of indications that the Giants are going to regress, so I also am under here. And
sorry.
Now...
So sorry.
Now we pour one out.
Is that curse?
It looks wrong.
How's his body language?
It looks wrong. I couldn't bring myself to watch the video of him talking to reporters.
Wearing number 10?
Yeah,
looks like Geno Smith in that photo.
It's an awfully light skin.
Under.
Yeah,
under.
That's under 4.5 wins, by the way.
Yes, under.
They're that bad.
I'm going under too.
Yeah, under. They're tanking the season. Teams that tank usually tank. The Oakland Raiders with a line of 10 wins.
Oh, why with the photo?
That's a happier moment.
Do you think that was a genuine interaction?
It kind of looks like Coach Pete is the coach of the Raiders in that photo.
I'm going under on the Raiders.
Very under.
Yeah, I'm under as well. Yes. Another team that
we... Are we picking locks? If I could pick lock, this is the lock right here. And I don't know if anybody's watched the season of Ballers on HBO.
Excuse me. That's the critically acclaimed third season of Ballers on HBO.
But I hate to break it to you. They're moving to Vegas.
Spoiler alert. I haven't gotten that far. The Philadelphia Eagles with a line of 8 wins.
That's an interesting line. Is that what they won last year?
R.I.P. to Cassius Marsh.
Let's see. They won 7 last year.
But had right there was a fifth round pick plus the pick that they traded for Justin Coleman.
Good old Cassius. The Seahawks lost one of the style icons of the team. Have you guys seen Cassius Marsh? I mean, have you seen him?
I've seen Russell Wilson watching the Mayweather-McGregor fight, if we're talking about style icons.
It's disappointing that no one dressed up like that.
He looks like James Franco from Spring Breakers. A lot. I'm going over. I think they could win 9.
I'm going under here.
It's interesting because the stat projections are not as high on them as you'd think because they had the point differential of a 9-win team last year, but another difficult schedule this year. So I'm still going over on them.
Yeah, the defense, they got Jernigan too, which is just seems unfair.
How many more teams do we have?
Calm down.
We're in the P's, so it's getting
teams. There's that many teams. Okay. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers with a line of 10.5 wins.
Man. Over.
I'm going over.
Over. The San Francisco 49ers with a line of 5 wins in their first year
with
John
Lynch.
Celebrating
his draft success before players ever played on the field. That's him, draft value success.
It was a great trade. It was a great trade down.
God. Yeah, I'm going over.
I'm going under here.
I mean, John Lynch asked himself, what would John Schneider do? And the answer was trade down, so he did it. I think I went over here.
You think George Kittle is worth at least a game? We should skip this one.
All right, we can skip this one. Line of 10.5 wins for the Seahawks. I guess we'll get to that later.
Not high enough.
It should be 13.5.
Shout out to Sheldon Richardson.
Is that Sheldon Richardson?
It is.
He looks good in that uniform.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Did I say that out loud?
You did. Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a line of 8.5 wins. A trendy pick in the NFC South.
I don't trust the Bucs either. I don't know.
I'm going over.
They got so many weapons, but no.
I wanted to go under, but then I had too many unders, so I decided to go over with them.
Yeah, I asked you guys before, am I supposed to, actually be accurate on, what could actually happen in real life?
No. Okay. We're going to look at these in, January, and you're going to be wrong about 95% of them.
And then you're not going to, I picked that? What was I thinking? Yeah. All right, Tennessee Titans also with a line of 8.5 wins.
They won 9 last year, I think, right?
Wow.
I think they won 8.
No, I think they're 9-7 and missed the playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going over.
That is correct.
Yeah, you have a young quarterback, won 9 games last year. Why would this be 8.5 wins?
Plus, they have so much more receiving talent now. They got Decker. They got Corey Davis, 4th overall pick, I think.
Bettors have pounded this over. It's the third, worst value, or the most different value after Jets under is number 1 by far, and then Lions
the only
under.
One we should have done is just Jets under.
By the way, this will tell you how much you should trust me on this. I had to Google what the numbers meant on this thing.
What the lines
The 150,
meant?
The negative 150.
Okay. You should listen to Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal do a podcast.
they're degenerate gamblers, yes.
You should check out that website.
Definitely going over here.
Yeah, I'm also over. And finally, the Washington professional football team. Sadly, Kirk Cousins will not have Scott McLaurin.
I'm going over.
I'm going under.
I'm going under. Don't trust the Washington organization. All right. Well, with that in the books, it's time to start talking about that team that we skipped over during the lines, and that is your Seattle Seahawks. So I thought a good place to start would be taking a look at the schedule for the 2017 season and how we're feeling about how that looks. So we've got the ESPN Football Power Index projections by week for the Seahawks, starting with the game they are projected to have the lowest chance of winning, week 1 at Green Bay, 38.5%. And you know, maybe even a surprisingly difficult start, because even though you have that San Francisco game at home sandwiched in the middle of those, September 24th at Tennessee could be a tricky game for them. I think people look at that and think pencil that in as a win, but if they're as good as we're just saying they are, that's a hard road game.
The Titans kind of have a reputation based on the last couple of years, but yeah, they're a very good team. I mean, their front seven's very talented, good pass rushing team, and I don't know if you guys have heard, the Seahawks offensive line is not very good.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Not high on them. It's funny because I'm actually really, really high on the Seahawks this year, not just because I'm a total homer, but...
not just.
I mean, that's part of it, but... the Seahawks could lose... I almost said we. The Seahawks could lose week one, and I think that sort of the attitude and panic meter might go high, but I think that there's... Even if they lose that game, I think it's just going to be the next 4 weeks, I think, will be wins on that one.
I feel like it kind of depends how they lose, because, look, everyone gets that at Green Bay is going to be an exceedingly difficult game.
Right.
But if they're competitive, you know, if it's more like the 2015 loss than the 2016 loss to Green Bay, which is nice that you can sort of compare the different vintages of them.
Yeah.
I think people will feel good about that result, especially if they follow that up by taking care of business against San Francisco in week two.
The Green Bay game is interesting. There are two, like, real defensive tackles on the roster right now.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, is the reason they're playing the Packers in week one. Like, they're not gonna run the ball. They're not gonna go, like, you know, three tight ends and run the ball. It's like they wanna get after Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, and they're gonna spread you out.
Did you just steal this FPI from Ben B?
I did. Shout out to Ben B.
What?
Wait, so you took that graphic from him?
Well, he posted it on Twitter. So I had to redo it.
I like it.
Just
you added the Pelton Cast logo. I think that's illegal.
I read a Reddit thread today that what you do is just listen to podcasts and just add your name to it.
That's true. That's accurate. I don't know if you guys heard Kevin Durant's coming back to the Sonics to end his career. All right, Tristan, any thoughts on the first 5 weeks of games here?
I don't know. They're games.
Do you think it's possible the Seahawks are 2-3 at the end of this stretch, given two hard road games and one great road game that has been traditionally quite tricky for them at the Rams?
I mean, I guess there's a chance. I don't know.
All right.
No, I don't think so.
All right, so then the Seahawks have a bye week, week 6, October 15th, and come back from that. Another road game at New York where...
Back to the Meadowlands.
Yeah, where FPI favors the Giants. I feel better about the Seahawks' chances in that matchup. And then come home for a pair against Houston and Washington. And then at Arizona, one of the bigger games on the schedule, followed by...
Which is essentially a Seahawks home game.
And on 3 days rest, the Seahawks play... That's their Thursday night game at Arizona, followed up by an extended break before facing the Falcons at home on Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
Man. It's looking. The schedule is looking more difficult the more you look at it, I think.
Let's wait till we get to weeks 11 through 16. Those are a bit more favorable.
So the Falcons game on November 20th is Monday Night Football?
Yes.
Whew. That's going to be a fun game.
Yeah.
That's also, the 666 chance of winning there.
All right, and to close it out after Thanksgiving, I guess that's not after Thanksgiving, it's still before Thanksgiving, at San Francisco, home for Philadelphia, at Jacksonville in week 14, home versus the Rams, traditionally a tricky game, Christmas Eve in Dallas against the Cowboys.
Christmas Eve in Dallas.
I feel like...
New Year's Eve hosting Arizona.
Yeah.
The real question is, how much am I going to abandon my children during this time period? of which there are many.
Mrs. Fantasy Genius is not laughing at this, for the record. I mean, look, last year Christmas was ruined by the Seahawks losing.
Yeah, now we're going to ruin Christmas Eve.
That was also Christmas Eve, but...
Sorry, we're going to ruin New Year's Eve by losing the Cardinals at home.
Mrs. Fantasy Genius's birthday.
I hate Cardinals games late in the season at home.
Which always seems to happen.
I mean, the worst.
Do we think this game is going to decide the NFC West, or do you think the Seahawks will have, or one team, let's...
I think...
Could be the Rams, could be the
just
Niners.
Just in my, like, totally ad hoc projections based on, like, the last hour, I think the Seahawks are going to...
They're very burger-related.
I think the Seahawks are going to end with 12 wins. I think the Cardinals are going to end with 10, so I don't think it's going to make a difference.
There we go.
but they're probably going to lose that game.
So do you have any more slides?
No more slides.
God, you have a lot of slides. Okay, so can we talk generally, Danny?
Yeah.
About the Seahawks team, what should we expect? You know, we've talked specifically about the Packers game on our preview podcast, but looking at the season overall, you just walked away.
I thought an interesting way to talk through this.
What should we expect overall? Let's talk Seahawks offense first, and then Seahawks defense.
So I thought a way to go through this is kind of comparing to what the Seahawks did last year in terms of advanced statistics. So they finished 14th in passing offense DVOA, according to Football Outsiders, and 22nd in rush offense DVOA.
That's just got to piss Carroll off. How much, like, I think this whole offseason, I mean, we talk about how the Seahawks don't really do anything on the offensive line, but I think the offensive linemen they do target are run-blocking offensive linemen.
Yep.
I mean, Ifedi is, I don't know what the word to use in pass protection is. That's not totally mean, but he's a really good, he actually could be a really good run blocker. I think they want guys with physicality on the edges because he wants to run the ball. Like, I think last year just grated on him. So,
and then certainly the signing of Eddie Lacy, I think, factoring into that too.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing that I always go back to, I always talk about it, is I heard an interview with Pete Carroll, and I think it was right after they won the Super Bowl, in fact, and he was talking about how they want another team to know they've played a really hard game
right
after they play them. Like, that's the number one goal, is to, like, basically beat up your opponents. And Eddie Lacy's a load. Like, he's not going to run around many guys, but I mean, think about trying to tackle Eddie Lacy in the fourth quarter after you've played a really hard game. Like, it's not going to be fun. It's Chris Carson, too. I mean, like, seventh-round guy, he doesn't have a full, like, necessarily skill set. But, I mean, we saw him bowl over that guy on the goal line. I mean, that's exactly, I think, why Pete Carroll loved him so much in the pre-draft process. And so, yeah, I think the number one thing for Pete Carroll this year is just getting back to that, you know, basically just beat you up offense.
And then you've got CJ Procise in the mix too.
Yeah.
Giving them that dimension. He did a few games, including that upset win at New England and winning the DVOA Bowl against Philadelphia. and then, you know, the offense wasn't the same after he was down.
Yeah, and I think he's kind of the speed element. He's not like a small guy either. He's 220 pounds. But he's definitely sort of the quick to the edge. If you take a bad angle, like, he's gone, kind of runner for them. You know, obviously Eddie Lacy's not, but, and Rawls isn't really either. So I think if Procise can get healthy, I don't have a ton of faith that we're ever going to see him on the field. Like, it just seems like forever since the last time he's played. But yeah, I think he's kind of the speed element, like the lightning to the rest of the guys who are thunder.
Do we think the Seahawks can finish in the top 10 rushing DVOA?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we have to take into account, are the Seahawks going to run Russell Wilson more this year?
You would think so.
Last year, I mean, last year he was battling what looked to me like a sure ACL tear. Like, when he got tackled, I thought 100%.
In week one against Miami.
He's done for the year. I don't even remember what game it was. Anyone?
Because he had both the Miami and then the San Francisco.
Like his knee was like a V. Like, it was disgusting. And so, I couldn't believe he came back from that. He also had, I think it was the ankle injury week one, Sue kind of landed on him or whatever, and then I don't remember what week it was that he basically bent his knees sideways, and for some reason, I think it was the nanobubbles or something. Like, he was
shout
able
out to nanobubbles.
Keep playing. But, yeah, I mean, he was clearly hurt last year. I think as much as, you know, people want to say that the read option is dying, I don't think it's going to die for the Seahawks. I think they're still going to use that. I mean, it just gives them a numerical advantage in the run game, and I think it's still going to be a big part of it.
All right, so then should we talk about the passing attack?
Yes.
I'm supposed to talk about the passing attack?
I mean, you haven't said much here.
I mean, it really all comes down to, you're talking about Russell Wilson being healthy, but how comfortable he feels in the pocket.
Yeah.
How much he feels like he's going to need to get out of the pocket, and it feels like he can get out of the pocket. And so the offensive line, to me, we've dwelled so much on the offensive line, right? Mm-hmm. We've spent weeks upon weeks with breakdowns of the offensive line play.
Stop subtweeting Ben Bear.
I'm subtweeting everybody. But I don't feel comfortable with the term subtweeting. But we've spent so long looking at the offensive line, and I think that Russell Wilson along with a lot of the great quarterbacks in the NFL, mm-hmm. is post offensive line.
Oh. Right. I don't agree with the term post offensive line, but yeah, I mean, if you look at the numbers, I think every year in the league, he's gotten rid of the ball faster every year. So he's obviously kind of, you know, aware of the fact that, and the Seahawks are too, that you have to get the ball out quick.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, he's still the guy that, I mean, he's going to leave some good pockets every once in a while. But his ability to kind of like get out of like pressure's way and move around and do their scramble drill thing is what makes him such a special player. I think that's a big part of it.
How much should we read into the effectiveness of the offensive line pass blocking the last couple weeks of the preseason?
And when you say effectiveness, do you mean lack thereof? Or?
Well, no, I mean like week three in particular.
Against Kansas City, one of the worst teams at getting pressure without Justin Houston.
I'm actually trying to remember how they did because I can't like remember specifically.
I think there was only one sack when Russell Wilson played.
That's right.
Which was the opening series of the third quarter.
Right.
We'll probably over-exaggerate this preseason game, and then it won't matter at all.
Well, I was trying to set up Danny to say that.
I think a big part of that is Wilson seems very dialed in. Like,
right.
You know, he seems to be seeing the field really well. Doug Baldwin's breaking guys off downfield, which is always fun to see. Seems like he's got a pretty good connection with Jimmy Graham right now, and he could have a big year. And so, yeah, I mean, I think part of it is just he's getting rid of the ball quick. And, I mean, maybe the offensive line will be better than we thought. I don't have a lot of faith in that, but...
No. Can I ask an ignorant question?
Yes.
The part of me looks at what the Seahawks did in the second half of 2015 with the quick passing game you mentioned with Wilson and Doug Baldwin in particular, but also Jermaine Kearse and Tyler Lockett. Why don't teams just do that all the time?
The quick passing game like
yeah.
that? I mean, I think that there's an element of that with the Saints.
Right.
I mean, ideally, you'd love to see Wilson kind of do the Drew Brees thing. I mean, that's like they're the same size. Like, you know, get him passing lanes, get him really quick, easy reads. Ideally, I would love to see him use Jimmy Graham like Drew Brees did, and I'll talk about that later when we talk about, I don't know if we're going to talk about the red zone or anything like that, but...
Let's talk about the red zone?
Inside the 10-yard line specifically, it just bothers me. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. That's the team I think of, and I think it would make sense for them to, like, kind of study that team. I mean, they don't run the same concepts as the Saints, but... It's just like kind of that style of passing attack, the quick pass.
So, Danny, what do you think about the Seahawks within the 10-yard line?
I'm so glad you asked because I actually took some notes on it. No,
Raiders are going to be over.
I think so. If you guys follow me on Twitter, I kind of rail on this. But last year, so from 2012 to 2015, I'm going off the top of my head, so these stats might not be perfectly correct, but. Actually, I do have it written down. Hold on.
Yes. Oh. Here we go. He's bringing out the real notes now.
Look at these are my notes.
I think you might get kicked off the Pelton cast in favor of Danny.
Let's see here. Okay, so from 2010 to 2014.
This is Pelton cast live notes.
Okay. Dude.
Stop creeping off Danny's notes.
Can I get a peachy folder here? So from 2010 to 2014, Graham, this is inside the 10-yard line, 30 touchdowns on 58 targets.
That's
good. I mean,
good.
He was like, Graham, I think, when he came to the Seahawks was like second in the NFL in touchdowns to Lynch. Like he was a touchdown machine at that point. So 30 touchdowns on 58 targets inside the 10-yard line. In the last 2 years with the Seahawks, 2 touchdowns on 7 targets. Inside the 10. Now
this is a Tristan side.
So if people cite to you if people cite to you Seahawks stats in the red zone, the last two years Graham has actually led the team in red zone targets, but they're
really?
All like from
11
like the 11 to the 20, yeah. And so like he's a little bit further out.
How much of that do we credit blame in this case to Daryl Bevel versus Russell Wilson?
They were all Jermaine Kearse targets.
Yeah,
I've read
okay.
the internet. Every single one of those went to Jermaine Kearse.
I have it written down here.
He's got Jermaine Kearse notes.
Kearse led Seattle in targets inside the 10 last 2 years.
They actually were.
15 red zone targets inside the 10.
Wow.
I think he maybe had like one touchdown.
Jermaine Kearse only
Williams would have been 15 out of 15.
Chris only catches his touchdowns from outside the 30.
How cold was that when they did the curse play and then the Kaysen play right next to it? I mean, that was just mean.
And they purged their roster of all Husky players.
So anyways, yeah, and like if you go back and watch the Jimmy Graham targets inside the 10 for the Saints, it's not like complicated stuff. It's like he lines up in the slot and runs a little hook route and Breeze passes it to him because he's 7 foot tall. You know, so I don't know. To me, that's like the big thing. If Graham can get like 8 to 10 touchdowns this year, that's perfect. That's exactly what they want. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay, do you have anything else?
All right, Seahawks were 14th in pass offense DVOA last year. Where do they finish this year?
Do you know where they were in 2015? It's probably like in the
not off the top of my head, but they
was it number
probably
one?
Top five.
Has to be number one. They had three receivers in the top five at DVOA.
Well, that doesn't count sacks.
I think they'll be, what were they, 14? I think they'll definitely be better than that. I think they'll be in the top 10. They'd be in the top five.
Yeah.
He's going to look it up because I'm actually curious. It's probably in the top 3 or 4.
We love having awkward pauses while Kevin looks up information.
Can you edit this out?
You got to talk through it. They were second in pass offense and third in rush offense in 2015. That team was so good.
That was a really good team. Did they win the Super Bowl?
That team lost to the Carolina.
Oh, man.
They almost won that game. If there would have been one more quarter, they were winning that game.
Yeah, I mean, and DVOA is an efficiency stat, too, so it takes into account, you know, value per play and efficiency per play. And I think, like, that's the Pete Carroll thing. Like, you know, pound the ball, run the ball a lot, like, get your chunk plays on off in the passing game, and that's kind of, like, the way they do it. And I think Russell Wilson's sort of just perfect for that. He's great on play action. Doug Baldwin, highly underrated receiver.
So good.
The best toe touch guy in the NFL, right, guys? Like, the toe touches are insane for Doug Baldwin. It's like a ballerina.
What's the name of the play he talked about that he ran for the long completion in week 3 against I guess that wasn't Minnesota, against Kansas City?
In the preseason?
Yeah. There was a name for the play. It's like a freelance play for him.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Whiskey run, yes. Yes, risky route.
Shouts to whoever said that.
Shouts to loyal listener Tyler on that
one. Thanks, Tyler. All of this considered, Danny, everything that you just said, what happens with the Seahawks this season? I want win-loss.
Specifics?
First off, we should talk about the defense a little bit. Earl Thomas stats written down?
Have we not talked about Sheldon Richardson yet?
We haven't, no. That guy's important.
That guy's kind of good.
I looked at your notes. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Oh, shoot.
You're just speaking extemporaneously about Sheldon.
Well, I was just
going to
go off the dome on Sheldon. So, I don't, because like no one watches the Jets anymore.
Nope.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but Sheldon Richardson's really good. He's 6'3", like 300 pounds, and he played outside linebacker last year.
I thought that was, like, when I went to his Spotrac page to look up his contract information and they had outside linebacker listed, I was like, wait, is this an error?
It's like, if you hear, you know, there's going to be a lot of reports about how he was a malcontent and stuff, it's like, maybe it's because they played him at outside linebacker.
Also, maybe it's because Josh McCown is their quarterback.
They're actually
we still have 20 hurries as an outside linebacker.
Yeah, and so he's an amazing athlete. He can really, he's got a good burst off the line. You guys will see it. Like he has an 80-inch wingspan, which is really good for a guy who's 6'3".
Seahawks love wingspan.
Oh yeah, but if it really comes into to effect with him, because you'll see him rush, and no one on the podcast can understand this, but like he essentially just like offensive linemen try and like get a hold of him, and he just like pushes them off.
We've been playing offensive line for years,
and so it's really really impressive to watch him play. You know, I think he's gonna be incredible for the Seahawks. Like it's like the Seahawks going and getting, you know, basically Aaron Donald light. He's
Richardson.
Not Aaron Donald. I'm not gonna say that. Don't quote me on that. But
there's only one Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
and he is every penny he can.
Yeah, unionize, right? No, he's Aaron Donald light. Like he's gonna be the guy that he's gonna collapse the pocket on so many pass plays. How many pass plays last year did we see Averill and Bennett just run past the pocket, and quarterbacks would just step up and make a big play? That's not going to happen with him in there. I mean, him next to Michael Bennett on third downs, plus now they have Frank Clark,
Yep.
And Averill rushing on the sides, him and Bennett on the inside. Look, there's nowhere. Quarterbacks aren't going to have anywhere to go. I don't think people really understand how big this could be for the Seahawks.
As Tristan pointed out in yesterday's pod, like, it feels like national writers are much more excited about this than Seahawks fans. Maybe because they're the ones who are watching the Jets.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the recently departed Shiel Kapadia, who went back to Philly.
Shout out to Shiel.
Yeah, Shiel's the best.
Shout out to the Athletic Philadelphia.
For Shiel.
I like. We can assume he's 100% biased now. I mean, he was unbiased. He was always 100% unbiased anyway, but. Now that he's an Eagles reporter, he was just basically saying right after the trade, like, that defensive line is going to be unblockable. And here's the thing. When you can get pressure with four, that's a cheat code in the NFL, especially with the Seahawks linebacker crew, their secondary. I mean, you're dropping seven guys every time. There's going to be, like, first of all, quarterbacks won't be able to step in the pocket, but second, they're not going to have anywhere to throw it.
So the Seahawks last year finished 13th in pass defense DVOA, but that breaks down into they were fourth with Earl Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the games he didn't play,
like
31st? They were 29th.
Okay.
So they finish better than fourth this year?
Better than fourth?
With Sheldon Richardson.
I think so, yeah. I mean, well, what were they the last, like, 4 years before that? Were they first? They were either first or second. It was, like, always the Broncos or the Seahawks.
One of our classic pauses for him to look up information.
No, I think they could easily be in the top four. I think they're going to get back to kind of being that dominant pass defense, you know, knock on wood, if Earl can stay in there. He's clearly key to their defense. I think we saw that. They started giving up huge plays when he went out. It really makes you appreciate how good he is.
Okay, so all of this said, the offense, the defense, Sheldon Richardson being involved, what does this
mean? Wait.
You have more? We can't get to the prediction?
If we're going to get to predictions, we should do this the right way. Can you hand me that?
What?
It's time for you to take off your burger hat.
Oh, no. I'm a little bit nervous.
Is this something to do with Harry Potter?
It's a pirate hat?
It's a Nostratristan hat.
This is not a Nostratristan. Like,
it's the closest I can do on short notice, okay?
That is a
it's
pirate.
It's much
hat,
worse than Black Trey with the do-rag. Okay. This is the exact opposite. Danny Kelly has a reindeer hat. I have a pirate hat right now.
It's your Nostratristan hat.
Okay, but I'm gonna
metaphorically
start with Danny.
Put on the Nostratristan hat.
This is the worst moment of my life. Danny,
it's a podcast.
All of these, yeah, nobody can see it live. Katie's not taking pictures right now. All these things considered, the offense, the defense, Sheldon Richardson being out there, what does this mean for the 2017 Seattle Seahawks?
So I
think the Rainier hat is on the line.
It's a very general question. I think I kind of I'm putting the Seahawks at around 12 wins. That's kind of like my baseline that I'm working with. I think in terms of, if you looked at last year, there were very few balanced teams in the NFL. I mean, like, the Patriots were probably the most balanced team, and their defense was, they were the best scoring defense in the NFL, but they were somewhere in the middle in DVOA.
Right.
So that's your most balanced team in the NFL, probably. And I think Seahawks are easily the most balanced team in the NFL. Their defense could be dominant. I think their offense could be really, really efficient. And we'll see what happens with Blair Walsh. but their special teams could be really good, too. I mean, they've invested guys in special teams like, DJ Alexander. They traded for him. I think they probably kept, Nico Thorpe, I think, was a big guy that they really like on special teams. I think he made it over Pierre Desir because, you know, he's a special teams ace.
That Kazan Williams got released?
I heard about that. Uh-huh. I was actually camping during the weekend, so I didn't get to see, like, kind of the Twitter meltdown. So that was good.
Melting down.
So, yeah, I think it's like, it's kind of just trite at this point, I feel like, to say, but the Seahawks are going to be really freaking good. they're going to be good.
What do we have? Nostra Kevin. Kevin Domus, sorry.
I feel like...
You have your Thomas pirate hat on.
All right.
I really missed my burger hat. You threw it on the ground.
Did I? I didn't mean to do that. I feel like the season is going to come down to week one at Green Bay. Whichever team wins that game ends up getting home field throughout the NFC playoffs and goes to the Super Bowl.
So week one is the key game.
That is what I'm saying.
Wow.
I think what we're looking at here. You talk about the defense. Sheldon Richardson creating pressure through the inside of the line. I want to throw this hat so bad. Russell Wilson being healthy for this season. A running back cadre, which includes Rawls, Lacy, Procise, and Chris Carson, who will be starting by the end of the season.
That's my guess.
A very deep defense. And I think what we're looking at here is I think this season, going into it, we are looking at, we saw the Falcons not being able to close the door in Super Bowl 51. And I think we have a team who knows what they're doing, let's say, in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And I think what
I don't
we have
think he
here,
has any idea where you're going with that. There's a like
on my
sense
Nostra
of one
Tristan
childlike one
pirate hat. I think what we are looking at, we are in the city of, we have all of these third Pelton brothers out there. It would be appropriate to woo right now.
Okay. They got their wooing out early.
Maybe not. Really? I think we are looking at your Super Bowl 52 champion, Seattle Seahawks.
They did it. What do the numbers say?
I'm a little surprised. I think
Patriots signed Mike Gilsley.
We should have got Burkhead, damn it.
Yeah, I mean, New England is probably the favorite statistically. I'm surprised the Seahawks aren't higher in the projections. It seems like it's a lot based on just last season. Because the last, they had been the DVOA champ 4 years. Actually, that'll be my bold prediction. Seahawks
DVOA
reclaim
champ.
The yes. DVOA championship.
What we have left.
Bring it back to its rightful home.
What was it, 4 years in a row or 3 years?
Yeah,
in a row?
It was 2012 to 2015.
We have one more thing left. So after this, we're going to be hanging out here for a while as people disperse. We're going to be going over to the Comet Tavern about a block away. But we have one more thing to get to.
And that is the results of your vote, the
people's
vote.
Champion
for Seattle's
the
best
search burger. For Seattle's best burger. Look, we did this search. We talked about our palates. We thought we were so great searching for Seattle's best burger. But really, what we didn't count on was the voice of the people.
The voice of the people who haven't necessarily been to United.
And do you have a tally here? Yeah. Do you want to walk up? I want to include write-in votes, please.
You said you want to include write-ins?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Wait, Mike, did you have another write-in vote?
I would change my vote to a write-in.
If you could include write-ins. Look, you can do whatever you want. This is a very unofficial
There
vote.
Are write-ins.
Yes! Okay.
Yes. Drum roll, Kevin. Thank you. We had 27 votes for Dix.
Okay. This is not that many people here.
6 votes for Unitaburger.
Oh.
3 write-ins for Loretta.
3 write-ins?
And 1 write-in from my neighbor here, I'm guessing, for Lil Woody's.
Mike, that wasn't you?
No,
Somebody else.
He was following the rules. Some people followed the rules. Yeah.
What we have here is we have a mandate.
We have a mandate?
We have a mandate. If we have to say, if there's a true best burger in Seattle, it has to be Dick's.
Yes.
Stop pandering to the crowd. I'll just say, I'm excited because we are a mere 6 months away. From the start of our search for Seattle's best burrito.
Oh, I cannot wait to throw
breaking news. Breaking news.
They are going to be messy. They are coming at you.
I am cannon.
Throwing them cannon. Overhand. We are going to get a burrito cannon.
Because you can actually fit the burrito into the t-shirt cannon. It works way better. On that note,
thanks.
We would like to thank...
Oh, sorry, you do it.
Let's do a list of thank yous. Thanks to Danny Kelly for being our foremost third Pelton brother tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It would not be inappropriate to chant Danny.
Didn't take.
That's okay. You don't have to.
I guess it would be inappropriate.
Thanks to Vermilion Seattle for being a great host to our first live podcast. And most of all, thanks to you, the listener,
the third
for taking
brother.
Time out of your busy
Each
schedule to come join us.
Each and every one of these third Pelton brothers out here. Thanks.
Thanks.
Good sign off.